Good to see you all today. The message this morning is to get free and to stay free. The Lord came to set us free, and the scripture tells us that that Jesus sets free is free indeed. But we need to learn how to get free. We need to learn how to walk according to the Word of God. And one of the things that in many churches, maybe not you don't get too much teaching on, is how to cast out demons. That's what I'm going to teach you today. This is the very basic level for believers. This is the basic. When you read what Jesus taught the disciples, he gave us a commandment, didn't he? To go out into the world. What is it that we as believers, I'm not talking about preachers now, I'm talking about if you're a believer, what is the commandment of Jesus? It's to make disciples, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead. That in scripture is beginning stage. Whoa, are you challenged? Are you challenged? I am challenged. I haven't raised the dead yet. We call ourselves full gospel. Have we done the beginner's level that Jesus says to the disciples? Have we? I am challenged. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's start at the beginner's level there. But what we learn at the beginner's level, you'll find that you can apply to a town, to a city, to a nation. I want to answer the question that you might have. You might say, I don't know if demons are real. Some people walk about saying, oh, these demons are so strong. That's nonsense. It's not biblical. How do they get in? How do we get free and how do we stay free? These are the things that we'd like to cover with us this morning. When you came here as a visitor, I hope you got one of our little cards that looks like this. Because this is, in a nutshell, is why we are here. Life Center Livingston exists to help people. First of all, we want to help you to find God. Once you find God, you will actually understand that God found you. God found you. Because it's by His grace that we are saved. I'm going to open up if there's anybody got a 2-minute testimony how they got born again. Because this is the most important thing in life, is to be right with God. To get your relationship right with God. And to be born again by the Spirit of God and have your sins forgiven. So I'm going to open up. Has anyone got a 2-minute testimony? 2-minute testimony, how you got saved?
As you all know, I did come to church before the Christopher, but I didn't want to be here, I didn't, because I didn't believe in God at all, and obviously I've been through a lot the past few months, as you all know, or some of you are not aware, but I won't share that, and I was on a mobility scooter because I suffer with fibromyalgia, and a few weeks ago I just prayed. And thought, I don't want to be on this scooter anymore. I don't want to be in this pain. And then I stood up and thought, why have I just prayed like that? It's not real. Nothing's going to happen. And I got up next morning and praised the Lord. I don't need my scooter anymore. So I'll hand it back to Marita.
Thank you. Lovely. God bless you, Bridget. This is the power of the Word of God. You step out in faith. You just grab hold of what Jesus says and you tweak it. Anyone else, 2 minute testimony how you got to know Jesus as your Savior? Come on, don't be shy. Come on, somebody.
Don't be shy, I wasn't shy.
Come yeah, on, come on. 2 minutes.
I came to know Jesus when I was at uni. I went to medical school in Dundee, and before that, I did not believe in God. I thought God doesn't exist unless you prove Him exists in the laboratory. And then when I started going to medical school and I was doing anatomy, dissecting all the bodies, I see all this wisdom that God has created in a human body. If anyone who is a health professional do not believe in God, he's just lying to himself. How can all these things exist just by itself? How can all these things just come up all of a sudden? There is a God. So at the end, I came down, I knelt down, and I believe there is a God. There is a God. There's no other explanation. What all happens in your body? How does the cell work? How does the DNA come up? There is a God.
Yes.
So it's just my arrogance that prevent me in knowing Him. And at the end of the day, we all have to just humble down and believe there's a God who loves us forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, God is real. God is real. So wonderful. And here's one more.
Yes.
It's just the Holy Spirit that urged me to say, just like Sam had told, you believe like we're a medical doctor and then this thing can't exist, you know. So I also got saved when I was in medical school. It's another one. So I'm a pathologist by profession. I see these cancers and all these things and all this, and then they see the body network. And it just can't be a Big Bang theory. It needs a creation, a creator to create the cells, you know, all these put together, everything to work the body. It's not Big Bang, you know. And I got saved in 2003. And then I'm not saying I'm perfect, but it's the daily walk with God. It's the daily personal relationship with God. Interestingly, I was reading something in Luke chapter 9 today. Jesus said, I don't know, I didn't realize this so far. We go to so many houses. It says, Jesus says, when you go to a new house for the first time, just say, peace be with this house. How many of you have ever told when you go to a new house, peace be with your house? I was just like, so many days I didn't realize that. So, you know, I just believe and hope and pray that everybody will have God's peace and then continue to stay in peace.
Yes. God is real. God is real. So, you can find God. God will find you. That is why Jesus came to save you. So, the next step that we are here to do is to help you experience the freedom that Christ has paid the full price for. Now, if you remember the story in the Bible about Moses going before Pharaoh and saying, let my people go, and then one day they actually did leave. All the people had been born into captivity. They had never been outside of Egypt. They had never been. So to them, they just didn't know what to expect. They had no idea that there was freedom ahead of them. And it's like the same for us. Until you actually surrender your life to Jesus, you don't know what real freedom is like. You don't know that you can be free. But we are here to teach you the Word of God and help you to experience full freedom and freedom also from any demonic oppression in your life. Because there are three sources of your voices that you will hear. There's your own voice, yes. There's the Spirit of God that will tell you that Jesus Christ is Lord. It will tell you that if you come and confess your sin in the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. But then there's other voices that will tempt you to go and just go and try and have a little bit of fun. Sugarcoat all the sins. And so we need to recognize Not all the voices you are hearing in your head are your own voices. You need to recognize that and find the freedom. So let's focus today on finding freedom. So let's answer the first question. Are demons real? Well, a third of Jesus' ministry, one third, 30%, was driving out demons in people. So that's the word of God. So if Jesus spent a third of his time casting out demons, that's a good indication we should be doing the same, isn't it? It's the same world that we live in. You know that God says, I am that I am. But the devil, he does the opposite. He tries to deceive people to think that he doesn't exist. Because if he can make you believe that he doesn't exist and his demons don't exist, then you're powerless against it. That's how he works. Let's just look at the story in the Bible. There's a little picture here, an artist's impression of when Jesus came into the synagogue in the Mark chapter 1. And we're going to read that. There's a remarkable story here from verse 21. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Suddenly, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit began shouting, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus cut him short. "Be quiet. Come out of him," he ordered. And at that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into convulsion, and then came out to him. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. "What sort of new teaching is this?" they asked excitedly. "It has such authority, even spirits obey his orders." The news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. Now these people knew the evil spirits existed. They were in church. They were in church. These were church people. These were church people. They knew evil spirits existed. But they had never seen that somebody could cast them out. This is the first account. So they were astonished. Whoa. Here is somebody with a greater authority. And so that was the beginning of Jesus' ministry in casting out demons. And we read in verse 32, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. In verse 34, so Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. Verse 39, so he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. If you start to read the Gospels, what you'll see is a pattern. Jesus would come, he would cast out the demons first, and then he would heal their disease. Why? Because there's a connection. There's a connection. He would cast out the demons first, and then he would heal the sick. Because sickness never comes from God. Never. Never. Jesus came to give us life, and that abundantly. It is his will for you to be well. That is his will. This is in black and white in the word of God. And by his stripes we are healed. So sickness never comes from God. Don't doubt it for a moment. Remember Jesus said to the man, "I am willing, I am willing." So from the Bible it's really clear the demons are real. So that hasn't changed. The next questions. Sometimes people talk about, oh, that was a really strong demon. I like to say it like this. The law of God is strong. God's law is strong. that the demons have to obey the law of God. Look what Jesus said, and this is Jesus speaking. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. And then he speaks to his disciples in Luke 10:19. Look, I have given you authority over all the powers of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. So all authority belongs to Jesus Christ. All. So there's nothing left for the devil. There's nothing left. Unless you give him some of yours, or I give him some of my authority. He doesn't have any authority unless people open up the door. And Jesus has given us his authority over all the power of the enemy. What is power? Power is the capacity to do things. But authority is having the right to do things. So the enemy does not have the right. He does not have the authority. You know that because he's a fallen angel, and you know the scriptures teaches us about the angels. The angels wait and then they perform the word that God has given them. They go about doing God's business. They are powerful beings, but their authority comes from Father God. They wait for the instruction from Father God. That's where they get our instructions. They don't have authority on their own, but we are created in the image. We, the human race, have been created in the image of God. We have authority, we have power. This is really important that we understand as the fundamental right that God has given us. But the demons have to live by God's law. They have to live by the law of God. So, are they strong? Well, they don't have authority by themselves unless somebody's given them that authority. They have to work through a human being. The kingdom of God works through God's people. The kingdom of darkness is looking for people that it can work through. That is how there is a spiritual war happening. Now, the kingdom of darkness is not very strong in the sense that when you go to the end of time, I love the scripture in Revelation 20, where we read, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he lay on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. How many angels did it take? How many?
One.
So don't be intimidated. Do not be intimidated. If you are a child of God, do not be intimidated. But search the scriptures and learn who you are in Christ. It's time for us, for the church to arise. We must arise in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must know the authority that we have. We must operate the way that Jesus commanded you. You are a believer. Come on, this is the basic level. This is the ground level for us as believers. Let's get into it. Let's understand it. Let's search the scriptures and understand. So how can demons attach themselves to people then? How does it happen? Well, the number one way is through trauma. How can that happen? Well, think about it in the natural. Remember when you were a child, you were running about playing, you would fall, scrape your knee. If you didn't go, and you had all these scrapes, if you didn't go and get them cleaned up, you could end up with an infection, right? Because you were open. So when a person goes through trauma, if a person is in a car accident and get a big fright, if a person is abandoned, if a person is abused, all of these different kinds of trauma, the persons, the guard is down. The guard is down. And the enemy will always take the opportunity. If the door is open, the enemy will come in and steal. Because the scripture tells us he's come to steal. He will come in and he will steal. If you open the door. Now, trauma typically is because you're wounded, which is caused by somebody else's sin. If you've been abused, it wasn't you that sinned, but somebody else sinned. Somebody else sins against the Holy God and against you. And sin opens the door to the enemy. Sin opens the door. This is why we have a lot of people out there, both in the church and outside the church, that have been really wounded. And they need to find Jesus. And they need to find freedom. And many of them are oppressed by demons because the demons have come in, attached to themselves, to the person, and told them you're worthless. Demons are full of lies. They have zero compassion. You know, you're probably aware, but we've read testimonies of people that this happened to them even before they were born. A spirit of rejection. Maybe somebody giving birth, but not really wanting the baby. The spirit of rejection can enter into a person. Is that fair? Of course it's not. The enemy does not do anything, has no compassion. Demons, they don't have any compassion whatsoever. They're just pure evil. They are our enemy. They are the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are our enemy. They're our enemy. And we've got to cast them out. We've got to bind them, and we've got to cast them out. So, number one way they come in typically is through trauma. Through somebody else's sin, through a fallen world that we live in. How do demons get in? Also, any sin in our lives, especially repeated sin. The scripture tells us the wages of sin is death. Sin only leads to death. That's why we need to know the scriptures to know how to live godly lives. Lust, hatred, murder, envy, pornography, unforgiveness, slander, idle words. It is like opening the door to the enemy. And when we continuously choose sin, we are walking away from the protection from the Father. We are losing our protection. And we are out there on our own. And we don't do well on our own. We don't do well. So that is another way. It's through sin. I want to just focus in on the importance of forgiving. Because we see very often in deliverance that unforgiveness is a hindrance. Jesus said when he was teaching us how to pray, Matthew 6:12 in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our debtors as those that have debt against us. It's meaning that if we don't forgive, the scripture tells us God's not going to forgive us. It's a very, very serious scripture. So the Lord requires of us, as we receive his forgiveness, his love comes into our heart, that we would choose to also release forgiveness to the people. Because, you see, you've got to be of a spiritual mindset here, that it's not against people that we are fighting. It is the spirits behind. It is never a person that you're fighting. It is always the spirit behind that influencing them to go the wrong way or to do evil things. They are influenced by the enemy. And so you must release forgiveness and allow God to be the judge. Nobody is going to be unaccountable. Everybody will be accountable before God. Don't you worry. And none of us would want to stand before God without the righteousness of Christ. How could we stand without the righteousness of Christ? I thought it was so powerful when Nelson Mandela, this is what he said. He said, as I walked out the door towards the gate, remember he was in prison for many years, that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I would still be in prison. I would still be in prison. Because unforgiveness is the cup of poison. And if you have unforgiveness, if I have unforgiveness, I'm drinking poison. But I'm actually hoping that that person over there that hurt me would die. But actually, I am the one. I am the one that would be getting the poison, meaning I would make my body ill. Unforgiveness will make your body ill. It will. Your whole soul will become unwell in unforgiveness. And it's a blockage. It's a blockage. So choose forgiveness. You don't need to feel like it, but you choose it. And as the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, you choose to do it in obedience to the Word of God. Feelings catch up much later. You've got to remember that when you're born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, you become a new creation. Your spirit is new. Your mind and your feelings and everything, your feelings are still going to be like this until you learn the Word of God and you come into subjection to the Word of God. This is a daily walk. This is our daily sanctification as we walk with the Lord. So unforgiveness is a hindrance. That's really important. Another way that demons get in is other ways of breaking the law of God. Practicing occult, human sacrifice. Human sacrifice, you're saying? This is 2022, we don't do that. Oh, really? Smoke coming up from the chimneys, from the abortions. We must repent from that. Abortion is sacrificing sons and daughters. Just as they did. God said it's an abomination. It's an abomination. That opens up the door for the enemy. Sorcery, divination, casting spells, fortune teller, witchcraft, consulting the dead, drugs, false religions, craft objects, ornaments. It's in the scripture. I'm going over this because people come to church but they maybe don't read the word. God's law in the Old Testament still stands today. Deuteronomy 18, there it's there. Do not let your people practice fortune telling or sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call out the spirits of the dead. Don't read horoscopes. Don't go there. Don't go there. It's forbidden by the Word of God. Why? Because God wants to be your source. God wants to be your source for your future. You do not go to the enemy and ask him. You think you can trust your enemy to tell you your future? He's nothing but a liar. God is jealous for us, meaning he wants us to have him and only him as our source. That he is our source for our healing. He's our source for our future. Anything we need to know, we inquire of the Lord. We do not go to other gods. We do not seek other sources. And teach your children the same. Because they think it's just a game. And before you know it, they're caught. And fear comes in. It's a spiritual warfare. These are serious matters. This is really important. If you have been involved in any of these areas, you can become free. The first step is always to repent, because you must recognize you've sinned against God. So when we see this in the God's word, we go, oh, I'm guilty. We need to come and ask God to forgive us. That's how we do it. In 2 Chronicles 33:3, they were coming before other altars, altars to fertility and prosperity gods, goddesses, worshipping starry hosts, idols of all different kinds. Yes, these things are real. When I go out for my walk, sometimes I'm really appalled how many people have statues of other gods in their garden. What are they thinking of? It's an abomination. As believers, you certainly shouldn't have that. These are idols. Practicing martial arts, yoga, you need to understand the root of some of these things. But every single movement that they do is a position of worshipping the sun. We can't partake in that. Don't open yourself up for these things. Bitterness and unforgiveness, we've covered that. Consulting witches, seeking superior powers and knowledge from spiritists. These are all the things that open the doors to the enemy. Sexual activities, any sex which is outside of the marriage of one man and one woman, is an abomination to God. The scripture goes into great detail about this. And the scripture talks about, it goes on to 10 generations. So sexual sin can have a generational curse up to 10 generations. Because God is very, very strong on, he wants children to be brought up with one father, one mother, in a godly home, in a secure environment. The enemy is corrupting that. You see that all over. Fornication, this is sexual activity and people are not married, that is a sin. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Adultery. God says he hates adultery. Because he is faithful and he hates when we are unfaithful. It's a decision you make. You make a decision and you stand there and you say yes to your spouse. You make that decision then every day from then onwards that that is the one you choose until death do us part. That is the scripture. This is a God-ordained, beautiful thing. Pornography, masturbation, perversion, orgies, all these. And we see this infiltrated in our society all the way down into indoctrination, into the schools. But we need to go into warfare by that. But that is one of the ways to open up to the enemy. Reading the wrong books, listening to seducing music, watching the wrong movies. Yes, watching the wrong movies. I've heard testimony. I've heard testimony where the door opened by watching the wrong movie and starting to listen to the wrong voice, which said, I wonder what that will feel like. Just like that, the enemy sneaked in. Family incest, that's a very strong one as well. Generational curses, as I mentioned earlier, the scripture tells us, certain sins can go down 3 or 4 generations. Sexual sins as much as 10 generations. That's more than 1,000 people before us. I had no idea what my ancestors were up to, you know, if there's 1,000 of them, hundreds of them. How could you possibly know? How could you possibly know? It's almost impossible for that many people not to have fallen into some kind of sexual sin, isn't it? But and the grace of God, we can come to the throne of grace and we can repent even on behalf of our ancestors, and we can cut off these curses and say no more by applying the blood of Jesus. So wonderful. So that's how they get in. How do we then get free? Well, everything is by God's law. It's all very much like a legal system. It's by a legal system. When God's law has been broken, when God's law has been broken, that's sin. There has to be repentance. We cannot ourselves pay the price for sin, so we have to apply the blood of Jesus. Jesus came because he knew we could not pay the price, and he has paid the price. So how do you get free? You repent. You repent. You repent, and we can repent also on behalf of our forefathers. We do it in the name of Jesus. That's the power. Now, to become free, you have to want to be free. People that are oppressed by demons, if they don't want to be free, then they have a legal right to stay, because you've just opened the door. You know, if you have a thief in your house and you chase him out one door, but you left your back door open, it's not much good. So you have to want to be free. That's really important. You have to receive Jesus as your Savior, otherwise we don't do deliverance. Because you have no protection. It's by the power of Jesus, it's by the power of the blood of Jesus that we become free. We repent, we ask God to forgive us. We choose to forgive others by using our will. We make the decisions. And we declare that we no longer want to partner with whatever it was that we partnered with before. When you confess your sin, it's a good idea to confess out loud, say it out loud. Because demons can hear what you're saying, but they don't know what you think. Yes, God knows what you're thinking. The scripture tells us that. But it's very powerful. Because the scripture tells us about believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. So it's important what we confess with our mouth. When we are saved, we are also saved by believing in our heart that Christ Jesus is the Lord and Savior, that he died for our sin. And then we confess it out with our mouth and we say, Jesus is my Savior, Jesus is my Lord. We confess it with our mouth. So you want to be free, you want to lead people into freedom, you get them to say, I will no longer partner with. You see, you have to confess it out. And we, who are born again, by the power of the Holy Spirit, have power. And we can bind and cast out. And it's glorious to get free, to serve the Lord. How do you then stay free? This is important. The scripture tells us that if you've been in possession of any satanic objects, the wrong kind of books, the wrong kind of movies, the wrong kind of pictures, you have to destroy them. Scripture tells you that. Demons can attach themselves to physical things. And so you want to destroy them. You've got to stay in the world, in the word of God, to obey. And if you don't know what the Bible's saying, how can you go the right way? You have to get into the Word of God. We were singing it, one of the first songs, Your Word is a light to my feet. So that's how I know where to walk. You can actually see where you're going. And so the Word of God gives us the direction. It gives us the absolute black and white direction how to stay free. How to stay. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can live and we can conquer. We do not need to fall in sin. You do not need to live a sinful life. When we fall, He's there and He forgives us. But there is power by the Holy Spirit to live the right way. Be baptized in water under the Holy Spirit. That's important too. Because that's obedience to the Word of God, to go and be baptized in water. If you're a believer and you're not baptized in water yet, get baptized in water. Let us know and we will be arranging a water baptism. And then get baptized with the Holy Spirit. We've got to continuously be filled by the Spirit. And then 2 Timothy 2:22, this is so important. When temptation comes, run away from it. Like Joseph did. He ran. That was a wise move. It says run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. You're going to watch who you mix with. You're not to be unequally yoked. You partner with people that are the people of God and that have the same calling, the same destiny. Ask God to search your heart daily. David did that. He said, come and search my heart, God. I think that's so important, so that the Holy Spirit can show us where we go wrong and so that we can learn and stay on the right road. Take control of your own mind. What does that mean? That means the enemy's thrown those thoughts at you. Just grab them and chuck them back. Boomerang them back. Not every thought that tries to get into your head is your own thought. So just say, no way. You take the thought, you compare it against the Word of God, and if it's not in accordance with the Word of God, you chuck it out. If it comes and says, oh, you're no good, you'll never... That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ. You just take that and you throw it out and say, get out. You close the window. You've got to take control of your own mind. You've got to crucify the flesh. The flesh can be lazy. You know, our own bodies, I just want to have a lazy time. But we are here. We are doing business with God. We are here to set people free, to set the captives free. This is our commission. We can only do that while we are here on earth. Once you get to heaven and billions of years go past, there's nobody to get saved up there. We've got to do it while we are here. This is our only chance to demonstrate the power of the gospel. We've got to do it in this life. That's why we are here. Otherwise, the Lord may have snapped you up as soon as you got saved. He left you and me here. He left us here, didn't he, with the Holy Spirit, because there's people that we need to influence. Be committed and accountable to your spiritual family. You're just recently born again. This is really important, to mix with the right people and be accountable. Have senior Christian people. It doesn't mean that they are over you, but they can mentor you and support you. Be accountable. Don't be out there living on your own. It's so important. Be prayerful at all times. And here at Life Centre, we do what we call freedom sessions. And this is where we set time aside to pray with people. And we have scripted prayers of repentance that covers things that have gone back in various in generations before. They're very, very powerful prayers that a person can speak out loud and confess sins of their forefathers as the Lord reveals. And then after that, we do deliverance. But repentance is always the first step. Repentance is so powerful. When we repent of our sin, God applies His forgiveness. And then that sin is no longer there in the eyes of God. And so when we say to that demon, get out, it goes. This is the law of God. Demons must, no exceptions, demons must obey the law of God. And we have that authority. So when they lost the legal ground to stay and harass somebody, we command them to go, they go. But if we don't command, they don't go. They have to be commanded. They have to be commanded. And when we deal with demons, you don't have sympathy with demons. The scripture tells us, Jesus said, you cast them out, that's it. You don't have anything more to do with them. You're not interested in anything they have to say. We just cast them out. Why? Because that person needs to be set free, because Jesus died for their freedom. And he has entrusted the Holy Spirit inside of us to do the work of the kingdom. We have the keys to do it. It's the name of Jesus. That is what we're here to do. We find that it can take a bit of time to allow a person to go through repentance for all these various categories of sins, because we cover all sorts of things that could have been taken place in the generational tree. And if it's never been repented for, then it still exists. But once it's repented for, it's gone. It's gone. So we offer these freedoms, Lord, and we do them with individuals or with couples together. And it's just very powerful. This is not something unique to our church. This is kingdom business. You'll find other ministries, they do the same, and they offer it. And it's very often the ministry team and the churches go through it every year, because we can easily be contaminated in this world. Now, when you were a child, did you just scrape your knee once and it never happened again? I don't think so. Even as an adult, I walk into the dishwasher and scrape my knee again. Right? It's the kind of world we live in. Trauma. Trauma's right in the corner. I'm not saying that every time there's...